Hello, and welcome to Big Trouble in Little Podcast, a show where there is themes of movies and they have a gimmick of ranking at the end of the month. Today is different. We go into the universe with a great series called Star Trek The Next Generation, and Chaz chose The Inner Light, Ship in a Bottle, and Emergence. Enjoy.
Captain's Log, 3/12/24 at 10:06 p.m. Eastern Time. This is episode 277 of Big Trouble Little Podcast. I'm Joe Dubs.
I'm Andy.
I'm Chaz.
I'm Zach.
And we are, if you haven't noticed in the beginning of how I did the intro, we are doing Star Trek Month. Yay.
These are the voyages of the starship Big Trouble.
Yeah. Fun fact, I don't know if Chaz was around, but I actually did it like a promo for Star Trek. I don't think it was around during that time.
That was a good time. I got a notification at some point that the music in it had been claimed.
What's funny is actually, so this is actually, for me, 2 years of joining. I don't know if you guys recall, but I joined around this time 2 years ago, and I started with Bond Month, but then the month following that, we actually did Star Trek. So... Yeah. We're right in that ballpark. It's been 2 years since we've done any Star Trek stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we always have a good time. Like, Star Trek is the new, like, Twilight Zone picking that we... I think we're going to make it yearly. We'll discuss after the show. But I think we should make it a yearly thing for our podcast. Because we can get through a lot of Star Trek that way. But... Let's get into these episodes. Now, Chaz, where do you want to start? Because I think there's one episode that I think we could talk a lot. And there are other episodes are kind of like, I don't want to say filler, but I think there's a lot of discussion. The one that I'm saying is a lot of discussions is The Inner Light. I think The Inner Light, in my opinion, should get last, but these are your picks. So what do you want to go with first?
I'm fine with talking about them. However, I was going to suggest, just for simplicity's sake, that that we talk about them in the order they aired, but I don't care at all if we talk about, I mean, we could talk about them in a specific order. If we're going to do that, let's talk about them in reverse order from when they aired. So the first one would be
Emergence,
which was season 7, episode 23. Yeah. Well, I'm cool with that. If you guys want to start it.
All right. So let's talk about Emergence. Hold on a second. So Chaz, start off. This is your pickings. So
yeah. So effectively this episode, it begins within the holodeck. Data and Picard are going over a play, and then they have some weird issue that occurs, and through where the holodeck things seem to be merged, through later investigation, they find out that there are, because another thing happens where they escape instant death effectively, but they didn't do anything to cause it. They go into warp and then stop out of warp. Eventually, they find out that the ship has gained its own intelligence, or it's developing its own intelligence, and within that they end up going back to the holodeck, and the holodeck ends up having this crazy amalgamation of other holodecks, like the characters within the holodecks have been accessed on a train, so they're on the Orient Express, but there are several characters from other holodeck experiences and past characters that had been in other episodes are on the train. So while they're going through the simulated part of that, they're also trying to figure out and uncover what is happening. And it turns out that some other event had led to the ship itself gaining intelligence, and as it became a sentient creature, it wanted to form life. So initially they think they need to stop it, but Picard, being the person he is, and always, you know, wanting to give the benefit of the doubt to new life forms, he decides to help it complete such task, and it gives birth to this very weird thing that kind of looks like a bunch of tubes put together.
So I don't even know how to describe it. Screensaver.
You know, it does. It does look like the Windows 95 screensaver. Thank you. That is a great way to describe it.
It also looks like crazy straws that they just like put together.
It's like PVC pipes. Like this little boop, 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 boop. This little, or what are they called? I should know. My daughter plays with them all the time. But you can like make little creations out of them, make little stick people. But yeah, it made a doodle bob of sorts. Mm-hmm. And it was like, let's release it into the ether. They basically just let it free, and at the end Data of course asks him the question of why he would allow it, and he kind of goes over contemplating how that. I think the exact quote is, if we are to think that our shared experiences on this voyage are noble, then why are we to think the sum of those experiences that would create a life would be anything less than that effect.
I think what's kind of funny is that this is season 7, and this is like two more episodes. The series is done. Period. And like I said, I don't think this is a filler episode, but like you have this like new life form that just like phases out of the ship, and like I it's funny that I just watched the Picard series, and I think it would have been a nice like head nod, be like, hey, I remember that life form in season 7 showing up out of nowhere. Because imagine what happens to that life form. Does it go to another planet? Does it go to a galaxy, a moon? Do they make more offsprings and grow that life form?
Little noodle blobs.
Yeah. Or whatever it turns into. Maybe they evolve like Pokemon and they turn into, like, I don't know, like Mario pipes. They turn next. Into
a Windows 98 screensaver.
Yeah.
Yeah, but finds that there's little XPs running around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, must be so, it.
What do you guys have? Like, what's is there any ups and downs in this episode that you guys want to talk about? We'll start off with Zach, because give you some opinions first.
I don't know. I didn't really have any issues with it, I guess, other than like compared to the other two episodes, it just felt a little bit less than what was going on in those. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I still liked it, but I don't know. I don't really have much to say about this one.
I feel like the driving force of the episode is just the intrigue of the concept. Like, and there's also the thing of it's almost like a gimmick, kind of, but hey, the holodeck put all these old characters back on a train for us to interact with. And why is that mafia guy from that other episode? Why is he here? Like, it kind of feels like that. That's what's happening. But because it's near the end of the series, I know we keep using the word filler, but we want to avoid calling it that. But it's kind of just a slight notch above that. Like, it's still entertaining. I thought it was interesting, but there's nothing to really build any characters or anything. Like, I feel like Star Trek's episodes are at their strongest when they're strongly reinforcing the development of a character that they focus on. Like, we talk about, like, oh, this is a Data episode, or this is a Picard episode, or something like that, to that effect. Like, the episodes tend to be best when they're heavily focused on a character like that. And this one doesn't do that. In fact, I mean, there are a couple of characters that are just really not involved at all. And everyone else is just kind of there. So
this is a problem of the week.
Yeah, it's, I mean, at most, you would say maybe it's a Picard episode, but that feels like a weak thing to
barely
characterize.
In it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one's really focused on it. Like, it's the problem itself that is the focus. Again, it kind of just feels like filler, but it is an interesting concept of the them trying to figure out why it would suddenly gain life. But
X-Files has Monster of the Week. Star Trek has Problem of the Week.
I saw people on Reddit describing it as Planet of the Week. sometimes.
Sure, for that too. Yeah.
It doesn't. Well, it, I know, mean, it wouldn't apply here, obviously, but I thought that was a funny way to phrase it.
Because even in the old show, it seems like it's like, yeah, they'll run across the planet. But sometimes just something happens to them, and they have to figure out a way to get out of it, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's like the It's Always Sunny. I mean, it's the reverse of that, right? Because that happened first in the original series, but the gang blank. it's just the characters end up in some type of issue or situation, and they've kind of figured out that the only thing with that, again, like I said, is most episodes focus on a character of some kind to build upon. When they do those episodes, you still have your problem, but then like you build a character in one direction or another. Most of the time, it's to, like, give more complexity to that character or make you like that character more. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it makes you more pissed or frustrated with the character, and that was the intent of it. But yeah, like this episode doesn't really have that. So I think that's the only thing it's lacking. But it doesn't really need to. Not every episode needs to have some huge, character arc to it.
The Enterprise is the main focus, right? Because out of the holodeck is creating life. How did it create, how did it create life in a sense? Because they talk about when Data was showing like the Neuralink and all that stuff on the board, he's like, here's mine, and then here's the Enterprise and stuff. Mm-hmm. One, it doesn't tell you how, I just thought it was interesting storytelling. As far as how this life form was gaining conscience, because it was going through this holodeck game and be like, we're going to this city. And it was the Enterprise going to it like a star and taking the particles out of the star to create whatever the life form fucking needed to
the screensaver.
Yeah. The screensaver.
Complete the screensaver
to be created. So I do think it has a focus. It's just not a person. It's a thing that became something, which
I think the focus should be where I am. But the underlying theme is Chaz is afraid of AI is what this is.
Oh, is that my theme among the three episodes? I'm afraid of AI.
No, yeah. The theme is like life, because all three of them have something to do with life. Or
I thought the theme was the ghost in the machine.
Yeah, that too.
Ghost in the machine actually is really spot on. Yeah, because that's effectively what all of them are in a way. Yeah, not intentional. It was an accident, but hey, that's there are no accidents, right? That's
funny.
But yeah, no, the episode's good though. I still enjoy it. I agree with you. Like the concept of it is cool. Like the idea that, and again, like it's interesting more that it would have been really easy to write it that the ship gains sentience and then is hostile and they end up in some battle. Like that's how shit would be written now, right? They would make it so, oh no, they're hostile. Oh, you're gonna attack it. Like, oh, humans will never change. Instead, they actually went the diplomatic approach of solving the issue. Oh, it's trying to create something.
They
it's trying
to cut divert life city.
Yeah. You know, actual Star Trek.
Yeah. I do like when Data's in the street, like fucking with the node and stuff, and this guy's like trying to run him off the road. And then Data just holds the fucking taxi. I was like, that's cool.
That is funny.
Yeah. Very, very classic Star Trek that scene was.
Yes.
What was up with the road? Because I know like they used the characters like they were the personalities of the ship. Like the gunslinger was the weapon system. I don't know, the redneck, funny dude. I don't know. I guess that's like the fun zone of the ship, maybe. And what's the engineer? Like, why was the engineer like getting shot? Because he stole the brick? Like, was that the only thing?
I think Crusher said that was the navigation. I want to know what the lady is from the 20s who kept clanging her little glass up against the knight's helmet. I want to know what her role is. It's like, what the fuck?
Diagnostics.
Diagnostics. Troubleshooting.
Yeah, I don't know what else to talk about because, like, it was a short episode. It was like simple. Had its little moral of the story type of thing at the end, where Data came in that you described it before, and said, you took a risk by, you know, risking people on this ship for something that you don't know what their intention was. And then he had, you know, Picard had that line. So I don't know. Does anybody else have anything to talk about this episode?
I was really distracted by the fact that the conductor was played by the guy who plays the Big Lebowski in the Big Lebowski. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Do we recommend this episode?
Yeah, if it's on, watch it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Generally speaking, even the worst episodes of TNG, like, you know, if it's on, check it out. Like, if you're determined, there are, like, watch guides, and some of them might be like, yeah, you can skip Emergence, but no, it's fine. It's not a bad episode. It's not insulting.
Yeah, anymore. I mean, you don't need it for, like, the core of what the plot of the show is, but at the same time, like, that's what's so great about this show is that this show isn't focusing as much on the plot as it is individual adventures that make each thing, like, make the show to get come together. It's like beads on a string. So to me, like, I would just, in general, spoiler for my whole thing, I'm going to recommend all the episodes because TNG is fucking amazing. So that said, yeah, I would recommend it. But I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way and say, oh, this is the best episode I've watched. It's not close to my top 10. I'm glad I watched it now because I didn't remember it. Yeah, so I think that speaks for it. It's not one of the stronger episodes, but it was still fine.
It's the weakest of the three we watched this week, I think.
Yes, yeah. I think that's easy to say. It's why I wanted to do them in reverse order. Secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Secret.
Well, and let's talk about Ship in a Bottle.
Yes, yeah. Moriarty episode.
All right. So this episode is quite interesting. What's his name? I can't remember. What's the fuck up's name?
Oh, hold on a second.
Thank you, Barclay. Yeah, Barclay. Barclay. Or Barclay. Is it Barclay or Barclay?
I thought it was Barclay.
Yeah, I thought it was Barclay too. Yeah, it's Barclay.
Barclay.
And I think they made fun of him by calling him Broccoli.
First name's Reggie? Reg? I don't know.
Reginald. Yeah, they call him Reg.
I don't know. The way that guy was acting just got on my nerves.
He's the star of his own episode, and it is an episode.
Man. Okay. So that's the thing is we talk about episodes being about characters. Technically this is an episode kind of about him. It's a Moriarty episode, really, like, which is fine. But really, like, this is a very tame Barclay episode. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. That some of his episodes go way out there, especially with some of the episode. What's the telepath's name? Or the empath?
Anna Troy.
Troy. Yeah, his interaction with Troy in a couple episodes is something.
He has to go to therapy.
He has to go to therapy. Well, yeah. Oh man, you just wait.
I think he has to go to therapy because it looks like every time he talks to anybody, it's like really uncomfortable, and it makes me
this is him. This nervous. Is him improved.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're watching right. people theater. This is him after he like takes a turn in his life, because up until a certain point, like, he's like a fuck up and he's like real nervous and he has like holodeck addiction or whatever, and I won't spoil anything else about it.
Oh yeah, don't go into that because it's fucking weird. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're talking about a whole nother fucking episode now. We need to talk about Ship in a Bottle, which is interestingly a sequel to an episode we watched last time we did Next Generation.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, yeah.
We watched the original Moriarty episode before, Data has memorized all the Sherlock Holmes stories, so he tells the computer to make like a composite of all the great schemes that make a villain that will give Data a run for his money. And the computer's like, okay. And it makes it makes a villain that's so great that he like transcends his artificiality to become a real threat to the ship and crew. And then this is the continuation of that, because at the end of that, they promise him, oh, we'll figure out how to get you out of here. But they haven't.
Yeah, what's really funny about that is I love that. It's relevant to the episode. You know, of course, Moriarty finds a way out because Barclay's a fucking oaf, and sorry, not the right word. He's a fuck up, but Moriarty finds a way to manipulate things to make them think that they've left the holodeck when they haven't. But throughout that, his interactions with Picard, he's constantly, you know, telling him, you've not tried to free me. It's all this time has passed. And while there is some truth to what Picard's saying, like, they just haven't figured out how to do it. It's not like they've shown anything, any effort at all to actually try to do it. So you don't see that. So to me, it also comes off as a very HR response. Like, we'll get back to you on that. Like, we'll call you. Like, it's just fucking pisses him off. And I don't know. That one spoke to me personally because I'm dealing with that at work at the moment where I'm getting that whole runaround on things for something, you know, and it's just, it's irritating, right? It's really annoying whenever you need to get something done that you have no control over. I mean, in this case, it's Moriarty's entire existence, so he has a little more weight in it. But yeah, it's interesting. So then he does find a way to trick them. But the other thing too is that he finds a way, conceivably, or he initially tricks them to think he conceivably can come off the ship. But that's when they discover, oh, he's not pulling some crazy thing. He actually. They're all still on the holodeck, and then he finds a way to overwrite code so he can control the ship, and he's overriding stuff, and he's putting them in a situation where they're near two colliding planets where they were initially when all this happened, and they're gonna all die, so he holds them hostage. So this is what I don't remember. Now I'll admit to this. I watched these a few days ago, and I was like, not asleep, but I was just like that phase where I was just kind of half asleep. I missed like the last 2 minutes of this episode. So I know he gets on the transporter, like the escape pod, and they get him onto the escape pod, and then the he gives codes back.
Yeah, I'll tell you the ending. So
yeah, go ahead, because I think I remember it, but I didn't want to like say it, and it's like, oh, I completely fucking misremembered it or something.
So when he finally finds out that this is a holodeck, he's thinking like, oh, I tricked them, and they get onto a ship, like a shuttle, because he's like, all right, we'll give you the codes back, but first you got to give me a shuttle and my lady, and we'll, you know, go away, and you get your ship back. So pretty much Picard swerved him, did like a Vince Russo swerve, and put him in a simulation, and that little green thing that Broccoli or Barclay was fucking holding, he was in there, and they just trapped him into a device, so he thinks he's free, but he's not really free.
Gotcha. Okay, I thought it was something to that effect, like they pulled the reverse Uno card, and
yeah,
they got him.
I did get a little annoyed, though. Like, it's that whole, if it's a simulation of a simulation of a simulation, how the fuck do you know? Because like, at the same time, because the only Jordy thing was that like
left-handed.
Yeah, but it's still, it's an AI and shit. But like the
because
thing
of the
that,
name
like,
of the episode.
Yeah,
I cheated a little bit because I've seen this before. But halfway through it, I was like, ship in a bottle. They're stuck in the fucking holodeck. I remember it now because the name of the episode really, really gives away the twist.
It does, but like the same thing too. Like they give you the foreshadowing at the beginning that there's an error that shows kind of what's going on. But you can stick to that because it would be bullshit if someone else picked it up. But it's fucking Data. Data's supposed to pick up the obscure shit nobody would.
Mm-hmm.
It's plot armor in itself. Like, that's fine. Like, I have no problem with it. If Picard or Geordi picked it out, I'd call it bullshit.
Yeah, but what I was leading to...
who would have actually done it.
What I was leading to is when Picard, like, solidifies and be like, oh, we're not in the holodeck anymore. He's like, computer? And then he goes, yada, yada, yada. Nope, we're not in the simulation anymore. I'm like, how do you fucking know? Like, Picard, fuck off. You could still be in a simulation. You wouldn't even know.
I like he says,
when you're naked.
We could be in a simulation, and they all leave, and it's Barclay. He's like, computer in simulation.
Like with Barclay, because he it's already a little spoiled. He there's a whole episode about him with holodeck addiction, and it gets kind of weird. So that kind of would be funny if that's how it ended, and you had no idea. Like, did Barclay just have that whole thing happen, and it wasn't even real? Like, he could even win that route. Like, he just came up with some weird thing on his own, and someone's like, "Are you okay?" need a therapist again. Mm-hmm. But oh well, that's fine. I mean, this is a fun episode. Like, the Moriarty's character is hilarious. I just love the whole thing of Moriarty being made or simulated into being so smart that he has that heightened consciousness, but at the same time, he's still so far out of time that he should have no coherent concept of the technology that's around him, yet it still seems he's able to outsmart others just with his wit alone.
He's a genius.
He's a genius.
And he isn't literally a man out of time. He is a man that was created by a computer.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. So he is. Yes, he's given that. But with the concept that he's to be made within the rules of the character he's made in, he's not a man out of time in the sense that he's truly plucked out of time. But his character is still made to fit that role. But I see what you're saying. Like, his heightened awareness is going to transcend that.
AI.
So, yeah, I mean, literally the thing they tell him in the first episode is they literally say beat Data, like make something that could beat Data, and they're like, okay, that's a fun episode too. I mean, which again, there's already a Big Trouble episode on it. So, but yeah, Zach, yeah, you like that episode?
I like Riker in all three episodes. Was just fucking annoyed at everything. because he was annoyed at Moriarty. He's like, we have fucking planets colliding into each other. If we don't leave, we all fucking die.
And he's like, I'm not real, so I guess it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah. And I'm just like, wait a second. You want to live?
You son of a bitch. Yeah, that's funny. Something. So Riker's one of my favorite characters. So it is one bummer of me picking the episodes I picked that Riker's really not a heavy focus in any of them. But this is the one he gets the most of, and I do love the interaction he has with Moriarty, just in that how frustrated he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you dumb fuck. Well, I'll die. He's like, well, I'm not real. You'll die. I can't die.
Yeah, and he just defeats the purpose of his mission, I guess. He wants to live, right? He wants to be out of this. Now, when he's stuck in that holodeck prison that he was claiming, was he just like in a dark room, or like his mind was just dark until the holodeck turned back on? Like,
I guess he says he sensed time passing, which sounds like hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds awful. I just imagine it's kind of like what happens when a Pokemon goes in its Pokeball. Like, he's just sitting there chilling.
Think of like how a computer or electronic device just passes time. Like, it knows it's counting time even though it's powered off. There you go.
It's like when I used to have old Windows, and I'd boot up, and that stupid purple gorilla would show up. I'm like, hello, I've missed you.
You know, that was spyware, right? It like deemed that it was to affect your computer. I know who you're talking about. Bonsai Buddy.
Bonsai Buddy, yeah. Oh, yeah. My grandmother's computer had Bonsai Buddy, yeah. Because she was an idiot.
Yeah. Daisy, okay. Give me your answer. True.
I have childhood PTSD now.
Yep, I got freaked out because of that shit. Anyway, I always love Moriarty episodes. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Picard show. There's a cameo. So
what? How?
You'll if you watch it. You'll see.
I was looking at the Wikipedia article for the next episode we're going to discuss, and it mentions that the flute turns up in Picard, and I was like, oh, everything about Picard sounds like it should be cool, but then I, like, you know, see a trailer or see a Plinkett review of it, and I'm like, oh my god, what a disaster. So
the first, like, two seasons was,
oh my,
like,
god,
they were just like, let's take this franchise and just, like, fuck with it. And
let's not get back to the Picard weeds. We still got to talk about Inner Light, which is most of what I've been looking forward to.
Oh yeah. So with this episode, just real quick, anything else you guys want to discuss on it? I recommend it.
I like that this stupid computer outsmarts them, and it's very funny to me. I like when he says "Cogito ergo sum" and then walks out, and everyone's like, "What the fuck?"
That is really funny.
I got a question for you guys. Ever since like the whole series for Star Trek The Next Generation, Holodeck has been a problem on the Enterprise to the point where Moriarty takes control of the ship. Like, remember that last episode that we saw where the other doctor, when Dr. Crusher was not there, like, he literally took the ship and shook it. Why didn't they shut down the holodeck? Why is it still operational if things like this happen, where essentially a villain comes out of it from a Sherlock Holmes? I know the obvious answer is it's a TV show. Great stories that way. But like, as far as like being in the universe and being in the Federation, I'd be like, we need to not have that. We need to shut that down.
It's a form of recreation. It's like saying, oh, problems have been created with computers. We should take computers. Problems have been created with alcohol. We should ban alcohol.
Yeah, but
some people got blow off steam. Now some people are addicted to the holodeck. Man, right. When you watch the original show, those guys have nothing to do except fuck with each other and eat and drink together. Like, seriously, like there's no recreational activities other than like, let's go to the gym and work out and wrestle each other. Let's drink together and let's fuck with each other. That's what you did in the original Star Trek.
At least in Next Generation, someone remembered to bring a deck of cards.
Oh,
they play cards too. They play future cards and 4D chess.
Yeah, it's like you're comparing it. It's like back in my day in the locker room, this is what we did.
Yeah.
And now they're just playing video games and fantasies. To Dub's credit, like within the story, it would have been neat to have like you because again, maybe they're trying to figure out a malfunction or something with the holodeck. It would have been funny for there to be episodes where they just pass by the holodeck and it has one of those like arcade out of order signs on it.
Yeah,
and it's like, I'm out of order. We're working on it, but then they come back to it later. Because holodeck's not involved in every episode, so it would have been neat to see that type of continuity thing. But I mean, that's like crazy hindsight. Actually,
in Emergence, after the train almost hits him, he says, "I want the holodecks offline until we sort this out or whatever."
Yeah, and that's when Barclay comes in and goes, "Let me see. Oh, Moriarty, you know passage of time? That's impossible." And then it just snowballs from there. I guess it's good.
He's talking about the other episode. He's talking about the episode, the first one we talked about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he calls for him to turn off, but it turns out he can't do that because the computer or the ship has control of itself now. So it doesn't let them turn it off.
The AI gained sentience and took over the ship. That's what happened.
Now that would be a reason to go, you know what? The ship has sentience. We should probably turn off the thing where it can make literally anything real.
Yeah.
Then how are they gonna get all those clues?
My main argument is like it's not like a drunk driver, and it's not like a gun that like will kill a handful of people. All these problems.
You're saying we should take guns away?
guns. What I'm saying is like the problems that happened in the show could have literally destroyed the ship and killed thousands of people, and this life form that got formed in Emergence could have killed people. So I don't know. I'm just thinking it like from an HR perspective, I guess, a little corporation. We need to not have problems here, so shut it down.
You're not allowed to ask the computer to make composites to rival your skills anymore.
Yes, David, don't do that. You want to learn to be a human?
Lesson learned from that previous episode. It just turns out that same composite just ended up being a thorn in their side for a couple episodes.
Yeah,
just make anyway, a rule. It's a great episode. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm gonna recommend most Star Trek episodes. So
I'm gonna tell you to watch all of them, even the shitty ones.
Yep. What about you, Zach? Are you recommending?
No, it sucks. No, it's good. I like it.
All right.
Like all these two. I don't know. I like. It makes me miss old TV where it's not all just plot all the time.
But that's what I miss about TV, actually, where these series happen, where every episode has their own internal plot of a beginning and end, and then there's a bigger plot that's happening, like with the Vulcans and the Klingons and stuff, and whatever Borg situation that's happening. I miss that type of writing. Now, every show that you watch now, it's like the whole plot needs to be said in this one season, and that you can't deviate. I mean, there's some that do it a little bit better than others, where they have that internal plot in an episode, but yeah, every fucking show is like that. I'm just like, I'm bored of this whole plot, so I bail out of shows sometimes because of that.
Yeah, but that's maybe more just that the show itself sucks. Like, yes, the main plot itself is terrible. Yeah. I think something to be said, too, about longer shows versus just, you know, 8 to 10 episodes of something that is condensed is fine enough, I guess. But there is something to say about having serialized dramas or serialized television where you are getting to see those characters for an extended period in what is otherwise in their confines is just their real world. So you're watching them interact and do things, and you're getting to care about those characters in one way or another. Like, you develop a feeling toward that character, whether it's good or bad, and that helps drive home more when you see the plot episodes. Like, it makes you feel more strongly about them. So I know I'm 100% with you guys too. Like, there's, I can think of so many good shows that I've watched over the years, and versus just the condensed ones I've just burned through more recently. And yeah, it's definitely one of those things that I miss. So one show that comes to mind for some reason, and not for any reason other than it's just one of those shows I can think of that I binged that used to be on television. Have you guys ever watched the show Grimm?
I watched some episodes, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. So
Grimm is very similar to that in that not like more of the episodes are just like one adventure comes up and it's like the monster of the week or whatever they deal with as they get through it, their mystery, and solve it. But there is a bigger plot that's developing. So when you get to a plot episode, it's more interesting because those episodes were not just simply, oh, we're just putting this off 1 week. Like, you're developing, you know, a character arc for one specific character in the show as you're watching it. So again, Star Trek's strength is whenever they have those episodes to build onto a character, and not even always just to make them so that they're likable, but to make them more complex and nuanced so that when they have interactions later, it makes it much more interesting.
Yeah. So, cause you see the flaws and you see their, you know, strong points and stuff. Is just,
I mean, could you imagine how shitty TNG would be if it was condensed into like an 8-episode season?
Yeah, it's Picard season 1 and 2.
So Dubs can't imagine it.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, I'd imagine it. I lived it.
Yeah, I miss like the late 90s and early 2000s had a lot of shows like Farscape comes to mind, and I would even say Babylon 5. Man, I miss Babylon 5, but. Let's move on to what I think is the strongest out of the three.
This is one of the strongest episodes of the whole show.
Yeah. Emergence. Yeah.
Strong.
Not Emergence. The Inner Light. Jesus
Christ. The Inner Light. Oh, this episode's so fucking good. Yeah, I agree.
This is one of those emotional things diarrhea?
You know, actually, I didn't. I didn't cry. The first time I watched this episode, I cried. This episode, it's beautiful. I didn't cry this time, but I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I was just too busy doing other stuff as I was watching it. But I did cry the very first time I watched it. It's a beautiful episode.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I definitely felt it. But yeah, the last time I openly wept. It was. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful episode. This episode
is definitely one of those things. I wish I could like suck the knowledge of it out of my head and watch it one more time again.
Yeah,
this is one of those things.
Experiencing it the first time is wonderful. Especially the ending when you know that he knows how to play the flute.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, whoa. It's so good.
And at least for me, when I watched Next Generation for the first time, this episode's reputation preceded it, and I thought, "Oh, this is that one where Picard lives a whole life or something, and there's a flute." I guess, whatever. Bring it on, weird episode. And it was still like surprising and poignant and interesting all throughout. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, I hate to keep thinking about this all the time, but even watching the episode, I think like 2 or 3 times of that stupid Family Guy joke where they're playing Family Feud and it's a name something you take to a desert island and all the answers are like reasonable stuff. And there's only one answer left. And Peter says, Picard's flute from that one episode where he lived his entire life as one guy. And it was that. And he says, I was in the survey. I think about that so much.
Yeah. So, it actually, it's a good bridging point too to what we were just talking about with television and how caring about a character matters. Like, this episode is not just built on the premise of what it is, but it's very heavily a Picard episode. I mean, again, it's solely a Picard episode in terms of what it really focuses on, but it's more important to his character too if you had watched other parts of Star Trek to know how strongly he cares about he has very conflicting ideologies between his duty as what he's supposed to do and, you know, the adventurer within him, but also to be a family man. Like, he has there by the time that you've watched this episode, because it's that near the end of season 5, you have already experienced at some point seeing him show maybe not regret, but he showed those doubts where he could have had a life where he didn't, you know, roam around everywhere. Like, he actually settled down and had children and had a wife. And this episode gives him a chance to have that. And I think, but also gives him a way to share the knowledge that he gets from the civilization that dies out. And it's, I think to him, it means even more because through doing that, even though they didn't mean to, they gave him a chance to live the life that he always wanted. And it actually stays with him. It's not some like lie.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
I
had emotional diarrhea again for this episode, because what Chaz was talking about is like Picard really never had a family, and this is his one time that he got to experience what it's like to one, have a wife, and two, have children. Because remember, he always like hated being around children in the show. He's like, oh, children, mm-hmm. Oh. Leslie Crusher, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, like, they build that whole dynamic where he becomes like this mentor, like father-like figure to Wesley, and then of course he has like with the episode you go back and see his family. They go over that, like, and he has a nephew that he cares about, which then we find out later in the movie dies unexpectedly. Remember that out of nowhere? Like,
the thing is, he's talking about he gets to live and have a family, and it like develops his character, and it does. Way more heavy lifting than that fucking 2-hour movie did. Insurrection, absolutely. Right? Or no, not Insurrection. It's Insurrection.
First Contact, I think.
Is it First Contact? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's First Contact.
I think maybe you're right.
He was yelling at the chick that was on Earth, and he brought up the uncle and everybody.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, because that's when they find out they just had a. It was just a freak accident, and it just like now looking at that too, because so that, it's neat for me because I watch those movies with you all, and that's what sprung me into thinking, oh, you know what, I want to watch TNG. So we never came back to that, but now that we're talking about it, because it's somewhat relevant to this episode, the throwaway of just killing his family. What bullshit is that, right? Like, just for a weak plot point in the movie that just like that you probably just didn't need. That is fucked up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It could have been a lot more if they would have had nuance to play with that within the show. But anyway, again, for all those reasons, like the strengths of this are that you care about Picard and what he has stood for as a person, and this is the best of both worlds for him because he, among anyone else, is the diplomat to stand for other civilizations. And be able to provide a way to share their knowledge, but also he has those, you know, that past where he's, you know, he's maybe yearned for a family and he couldn't really have it. So this is a chance for him to get both all in one, even though it's confusing at first. And you know, of course, like you don't know that it's going to lead to that point. The whole thing is you see him live this life and you're so confused about what's happened. He's gotten super old. We don't know what's happening while he's knocked out on the ship. It's really confusing. Is it all a dream? Is it not real? What's happened? And then you like, wait, civilization is going to die. They're going to burn under the sun. Where are they, Earth? I was making a bad joke about the ozone layer, but we solved that one. And then all of a sudden, it's like he finished. It's like playing a video game. He finished the video game. He made it to completion, and his friend that had passed away shows back up. And he's like, oh yeah, we're here for you. This is all for you, buddy. You mean me? I was the person. I was the chosen one. And he just goes back.
Yeah.
And then he has the flu. Also, shout out to cranky old man Picard.
He's like, I don't want to fucking go watch this stupid
yeah,
broadcast. I'm just staying inside. Screw this.
You're all going to die anyway. What does it matter?
He's like on the floor playing with his grandson, having like a good old time, like whatever. And he gets up and he's like, breaks my heart. He's going to die. And he's like, immediately so old and cranky about things. I fucking love it. It's great.
I just love the evolution of fucking Picard's hair just growing that way. Like, outwards and stuff.
It's like he's already balding. I don't know how to make him look older. Eh, he'll just stop trimming his hair.
Yeah.
So they did.
What's also like really cool is like you learn a lot about the planet, the government system too, like to the point where like the government knew like the world was fucked, but like kept people like having like small hope a little bit in a way. Like, it's shitty that they kept the secret away, but they were just like, we don't want chaos and stuff. And then that's when Picard like had his little science book and he was like yelling like, the planet's going to die. He's like, shh, we already know. We're like, fuck off.
We found out two years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've known this for a while, but yeah, well, and there's like an interesting ethical dilemma there, right? Because you can let people know the truth, but if it's not going to change anything, then why do it? Like, if all it's going to do is just cause a bunch of civil unrest until everybody dies, is there, like, what do you do?
I don't know.
I don't know the right answer. It's why it's an ethical dilemma, right? I don't know if there is a right answer necessarily. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, tell everyone when it's much closer to when everyone's going to die and just have an epic party. I don't know.
The way it was written too is like everybody was like in this civilization didn't care about science at all. And they were just like, we're making trees, we're having fun. And that's when the daughter, like, I guess became one of the like a scientist out there that were building rockets and stuff.
Oh, like a son that's like, I don't want to learn math, I care about my music, dad.
Yeah. I'm gonna get a record contract.
Yeah. I also just thought, like, the way it told the history of this planet by zapping Picard in the head so that he could experience this this lifetime thing, which in a way kind of fucked, right? Because he comes back knowing about all those years he spent on that planet. So I would think he would want to have Picard not be the captain of the ship for a while, just so that, you know, he's mentally there. Which I think they probably do. They probably give him a little R&R or something. But I just thought the probe was cool. And at the end of the, you know, the rocket that they were seeing blast off into space was the probe that was sent to Picard. Awkward silence.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. Sorry. I agree. I think the same thing. It's an interesting thing. Think like how someone would endure that, but of course Picard happens to be like the perfect person for that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always wondered how it picked him out. Like, why didn't it just choose, like, you know, Ricky on deck 17, who's just like doing his laundry or something?
Maybe they. Yeah, that is kind of like weird that they chose Picard out of everybody. Because imagine if they chose Worf and he just fucking destroyed everybody on that planet.
Shut up and was like, your forehead's funny. Ah! He just killed everyone.
He just kills the administrator guy.
Yeah.
Starts having battles and stuff. But I think because how Picard is very diplomatic and wants to help civilizations thrive, which I guess kind of brings me to my next example, the protocol that they always follow, I forgot the wording that they use, where they don't interfere with planet's technology.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, isn't that, I mean, even though that
planet's... Prime Directive?
The Prime Directive.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Even though that's like 1,000 years, they're already done, they're dead already, but like Picard doesn't know that. Like, he's kind of breaking the Prime Directive by doing all the science shit in a way.
Well, I mean, he thought at that point, he's like, maybe this is just my life now, and it doesn't matter anymore. So, Like he just resigned himself to that life.
Yeah, I don't think he was doing anything. Like he never once tries to explain to them something that's far beyond their comprehension in terms of, well, I'm actually a big spaceman. And like he kind of just like deep down still knew who he was, but just settled with, okay, what I have to live with. And then over enough time, he just became resigned to that idea. It's like, again, the thing where it really settles in is whenever he tells his wife, Alina, that he is like, okay, I'm ready to build a nursery. So, like that really settles in that, okay, maybe he's ready to just live the life that he has here now. And, but in the meantime, he can still use the abilities he has. I wouldn't really say it's breaking Prime Directive, in that way. It'd be different if he is going way out of his way to introduce technologies far past what the civilization has, or, and he's giving them all this knowledge about the Enterprise and all these other stories, but he really seems like he's moved past that. He just lives the life that he has, but a new problem that's right staring them right in the face is there in, within the issue with the sun. So he's just trying to do what he can to not just save himself, but his family.
And Picard, we find out that he's a lazy fuck and doesn't put his shoes in where it's supposed to be. It's always laying around. Fucking lazy fuck. I also, because people die off really quickly on a planet because of obvious reasons, and I love that they named the son after the friend, which I was like, aw, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Bataille, yeah.
Yeah. That was like a fuck, goddamn it. Onions. I gotta stop chopping these onions. and then, yeah, it's just, it was nice seeing Picard have a family. I didn't want the episode to end. Let's put it that way. I actually wanted to see more of him being a family man, which technically you learn about that a little bit in Picard season 3, but I digress.
So what I'm
trying to say is don't watch season 1 and season 2 Picard. Just watch season 3.
You're saying is like my buddy Guy, I'll go home and be a family man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. You guys recommend this episode?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the best episodes of Star Trek ever made.
No, it's gay.
I would say it's the top 5 for me.
Yeah, it's hard to think that it's not in the top 5. We'll just look at my short list.
All right. So Andy's next in his picking. So what is your 3 episodes you're picking?
I decided to choose all Deep Space Nine. I want you guys to get into Deep Space Nine. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I'll finish it in a week.
I'm going to type up just a couple sentences to kind of set up each episode that we're going to watch just for you guys. Because there's little things you need to know, but honestly, it's 99% stuff that you're just going to figure out along the way. But the first one we're going to watch season 1, episode 18, Duet. Then we're going to watch... we're gonna watch season 4, episode 3, Hippocratic Oath. I thought about changing that one, but I'm gonna stick with it. And then after both of those, one of them is extremely heavy and the other one's pretty heavy, we're gonna take a little break, or we're gonna watch Trials and Tribulations, which is some of the most fun Star Trek that's ever been made.
All right, well, watch those episodes and then come back next week and we will discuss that. But before we get a host credit scene, let's hear this ad.
Wrestling nerds, wrestling weebs, wrestling fans. If you're looking for a different kind of podcast, one that goes over actual big wrestling news, I mean real stories, not somebody getting divorced or baseless rumors or whatnot, and Get Some Color, we got that. We also do reviews of wrestling from the past, but sometimes we also do wrestling from the modern day too, if it's something that interests us at the time. Other than that, I would say the main attraction is just 3 guys who have been lifelong wrestling fans doing what wrestling fans do. Cutting up, cracking jokes, and just enjoying the entertainment wrestling can provide. However that comes. If you want to catch Getting Some Color, you can catch it bi-weekly on Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, usually.
All right, we're going to start clockwise. And Zach, you're at the top. Go.
Oh, okay. I've been mostly watching the same stuff I've been watching. Watch a little bit more of that Legends of Wrestling show where they talked about bad characters in wrestling or gimmicks and stuff. Pretty funny. You know, they talked about the gobbledygooker, the Shockmaster. And I got to hear Dusty tell the story about the Shockmaster again. All that stuff.
Oh, I bet that was good, baby.
That was good, baby. He's like, young Cody was there, and he saw him. He said, that's Uncle Fred. He like fell through the fucking wall. It's still funny every time you hear it. What else was there that they talked about? And then they were talking about stuff that was like should have been bad, but it wasn't, like Gold Dust. but it's pretty cool. And then I've been watching more of the classic shows they were doing in Madison Square Garden. I saw the match where they took his daddy's belt away from him in the garden, baby. I saw it.
What was the reason for the belt taken away?
So it was no, he won, actually. That's the thing.
He won in a way that wouldn't grant him the championship, right? Yeah,
exactly. So like he was fighting Superstar Billy Graham, and they had a pretty good match up to like, I don't remember how long it was. It wasn't like a really long match. It was like maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And it just got real wild to a point where they were just like going crazy. And then Dusty backdropped him outside to the floor, like over the rope. And Superstar got counted out. And I don't know what the rules were for like other territories or something, but it's like maybe they're trying to sell it. Well, the rules here are different. Dusty thought he won. He won the title and he got it. He got it in his hands. And then the referee's like, no, you didn't win it because you got counted out and they took it away from him. And he was like arguing with the referee and shit. It was good.
Yeah. I remember seeing the documentary about Cody, and it goes over this a little bit. So then I remember doing that and like trying to research on my own to see how many times that type of finish had happened. And that is one of like the earliest instances that I could find on record of that specific type of thing happening. And again, yeah, it's definitely been played out to shit. Like, think how many times someone has won a title match, but they didn't win the match. Like, in the Lex Luger situation, which it can be done where the person feels like they're robbed, and then you treat it like that, and it's... But the Lex Luger one's the opposite, right? Lex Luger gets the count-out win against Yokozuna, doesn't win the title, but then everyone, like the locker room comes out to greet him like he did win the world championship, and it's I'm the greatest, and he gets to the back and they give him his coloring book because that's the only thing that makes sense. Like, what? That was stupid. What are you, the biggest idiot in the room? You didn't win the title. You should be pissed. But yeah, it's intriguing though to know that you have to watch it. Was it a good match overall?
It was pretty good. Yeah, you got to remember that, like, you got to keep in mind that wrestling's different in the 70s, especially in the WWWF.
Mm-hmm.
It's slower. It's a little slower paced, and it's not as crazy. But their match was pretty entertaining, though.
So it'd been a half star to the Tokyo Dome?
Yeah, probably. I also watched the return match. I watched it last night where he came back a couple months later. And they had a Texas death match. And even back then, it was like nobody else knew what the rules to a Texas death match were. They just said, it's a Texas death match, pal. And it's like, it's all it is no holds barred in that territory. That's not what that match actually is. But Dusty lost that one too when he thought he won it. And I was like, oh, you can't do that to him twice where he thinks he won and he didn't. I didn't like the end of it, but it was still pretty entertaining. They both got fucking juiced in that one too. Superstar was like covered in blood. It was crazy. Pretty entertaining. And then I watched the F1 race in Saudi. I guess me and Annie can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Max won.
No way.
Oh, so surprising.
There wasn't as big of a gap between him and everybody else as there was in that first race, though.
Like, only because Checo was in the middle of that gap.
Yeah, well, like in that first one, he had like a 22-second lead or whatever on everybody, right? Like, he was 20 seconds ahead of everyone.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he was
11 seconds ahead of Perez, and Perez was like 9 seconds ahead of anyone else.
Yeah.
And they're in the same car, so.
Yeah, it's, and that's kind of how this one ended up. It's like Max was like 8 or 9 seconds ahead, and then Checo was like 6. So it wasn't as bad this time. But Lance Stroll crashed, and it was funny. And the engineer was like, can you bring it back? He's like, fuck no, I crashed.
No, I'm in the fucking wall.
Yeah, that's what he said. And I don't know, there was stuff happening more in the middle of the pack that was interesting, I guess. But it was fun.
Yeah, the whole battle with Haas trying to make a point. That was fun.
And then I've been playing Unicorn Overlord since I bought it this previous Friday. And it's a good game. I really like it. I've been playing the hell out of it. I got like 22 hours into it so far.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got an addictive gameplay loop. You're always wanting to try to like explore the map, find resources and liberate towns and rebuild them. And then like, it's just like that loop keeps going. And I got a fuck ton of characters in my roster now. Like I've got way more characters than I thought I was going to end up with. And I feel like I'm only like maybe a fifth through the game now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're still like introducing like new classes and characters to me. Like it's crazy. This might be like, I don't know, like the biggest kind of strategy game of its kind so far. I'm willing to say, it's crazy because it's like I learned that Vanillaware almost like went bankrupt making this game, apparently. And they did on the last one too. They made this other game called Ages 13 or whatever. It came out a few years ago.
That was
them. Yeah, they did that game. And I didn't even know about it. Like I don't remember hearing about it or anything. Somehow it just went past me. But I was like, well, damn, now I got to play this game too because I like their names. But they were apparently almost bankrupt on that one too.
They're just skirting by.
They just skirt by. Well, what happens is the CEO is just like a total Chad. And what he does is like when they run out of money, he puts his own personal money into the project to get it over the finish line. So I'm glad they finished this game though because it's really cool. It's probably like the biggest probably – most what's the word I'm looking for? It just slipped my mind. It's the biggest game in scope that they've done, but I hope they sell a lot of copies of it to make some money back. We'll see. And that's everything I've been doing.
All right. Andy, what about you?
Ambitious was the word I was looking for. Now Andy. Oh.
Yeah, I also watched the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, but you heard my thoughts on that. I had a good time watching it, whatever. When I was trying to decide what I was going to choose to watch next week, I actually ended up watching some random Next Generation, and then I watched a bunch of Deep Space Nine. Just flipping through, and oh, I really like this episode, I'm going to watch that. So I watched a bunch of random episodes. And I also, I was trying to think what episodes to showcase the show with that don't like aren't too spoiler heavy or aren't like you're going to be completely lost because you don't know what the fuck's going on. So I made a Reddit thread on the Deep Space Nine subreddit and asked there, and some people gave recommendations, and I was watching all their recommendations, and they gave some pretty good ones. I was surprised because there's a few episodes that would have been really perfect. One of them I really wanted to choose In the Pale Moonlight, but there's one person says one thing that's like it spoils the season finale from the season before.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And otherwise that episode would have been perfect. It's so good, but I decided not to do that one. Gosh, I didn't even really watch anything else, did I? I recorded and edited and uploaded a bunch of new episodes of Big Trouble Rips. Please follow Big Trouble Rips on YouTube. I'm surprised. I'm getting more views on that than I would have thought. It's not like a million views, but people are watching them. So yeah. I don't know.
I got a question.
Oh, go ahead, Dubs.
Are you tagging your videos? Because you need to do that for the algorithm.
Some. It's like I'm doing things little by little, and there's a bunch of stuff it won't let me do until I verify my identity, which I'll do that later, I guess.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just trying to have a catalog, and then I'm going to do, like, you know, playlists, and this video is relevant to this other video and stuff like that.
I thought I'd talk to you about it under the scope of RIPS. We'll talk about it after our episode recording, but I was going to bring up I'm getting several boxes of the new set, which I've already shipped. I should get them any day now. So, yeah, when the time comes, I'll either just do a full stream of the whole thing, or maybe we can make clips from that if we get really good hits or something, but that should lead to some good stuff.
Yeah, just make videos. I'll give you the stuff to upload it. It's pretty easy.
I love
cool.
I love Andy's commentary. Ooh, guy in a suit.
And sometimes I'm like, who's this guy? A sports fucking writer? Who cares?
Loser. Let me get a card. That's the type of commentary I need when I rip stuff. You're gonna need to get in there. That Pokemon doesn't even have arms. Useless.
One of the Pokemon rips that he did, he's like, oh, it's the other Pokemon, Pikachu. And then, like, he pulls a Pikachu, and he's like, what the hell?
No, that's true. Like four of those. I think it's important to have, like, gimmicks. And that's one of mine. It's, oh, it's other Pikachu. Another Pikachu is, you know, Dedenne or Minus and Plus or Ghost Pikachu or, you know,
Pachirisu.
Yeah, Pachirisu and... Oh, it's other Pikachu. And then occasionally it'll be, oh, it's actual Pikachu. And you get actual Pikachu.
Yeah.
The last card was a pig. I forgot what term he used for that one.
A pig.
A pig.
Yeah. Lechonk.
Back in my day, there was only one Pikachu
that Lechonk evolves into. They've been fun, though. I like doing them. I like mixing them up. I like putting in my little Formula One commentary that no one's going to care about. It's fun.
Yeah, recovering from scandal.
Yeah, I got Carlos Sainz and Christian Horner back to back. So it was Carlos Sainz. He's recovering from appendicitis. Oh, Christian Horner. He's recovering from scandal. But yeah, fun stuff like that. Please go follow it. There's gonna be a lot more. I've got. I still have. I mean, this isn't video, I guess. But I got the. I don't know. There's like at least two dozen packs over here that I'm going to open at some point. So I don't know. I got a bunch of One Piece cards too. I'm going to give those a shot. I don't know. And other than that, all I've been doing, speaking of content creation, I stream 5 to 6 nights a week at twitch.tv/thecliche mustache. I'm still playing through Infinite Wealth. I fucking love that game. It's so much fun. But yeah, I'll talk about it when I beat it. I'm in the labyrinth now. There's a labyrinth in Honolulu, and I'm in it.
Oh my
hell!
It's like an old apartment building, and it got abandoned, and now there's just like there's a rumor that it in the labyrinth there's a great treasure, and of course you go in there.
I really hope it's a Minotaur Tsujimon.
I got a bunch of Tsujimon now. I just found out that there's a whole class called Tsujimancer, and it's basically just you throw out your Tsujimon and they fight for you in the regular game, like when you're fighting guys.
What? That's amazing. So you literally just Pokemon trainer.
Yeah, a friend of mine's also playing the game, and he has it, and he says it's very powerful. But yeah, it's funny. You're basically a Pokemon master, and also like you get training manuals that get you a free rank in each class. And for the Tsujimancer, it's called To Be a Mancer, but it's spelled To Be A, like that old Pokemon album, which I thought was hilarious. And I'm about to fight the first of the Discreet Four, so I'm coming along with Tsujimancer as well.
Oh, that sounds funny. I like that Hulk Hogan ripoff Tsujimon that you said a bit ago in the chat. I was like, oh, these things are amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Every single one of them is hilarious. Like it's so much fun to play. And then if you get sick of things being silly and hilarious, you go play the story and it gets serious business. I don't know. It's the perfect game. It's got everything. It's got Animal Crossing. It's got Pokemon. It's got Crazy Taxi. It's got it all.
Sounds like it.
Other than that, anything else?
That's it. All my free time has been taken up with Like a Dragon, and then of course those deviations into Deep Space Nine and Big Trouble Rips. Go watch it.
Cool. Chaz, you're up.
Yeah, so got to play some more work on it, just a mix of playing Paper plus Pixelborn. It's been kind of fun. I've been prepping for a event. Oh, he's back. I've been prepping for an event. There's going to be a pretty large online tournament this Saturday. I'm just still not sure if I'm going to play in it or not. I've been talking to the group of other players I've been testing with to figure out what I'm going to do. The biggest thing I'm concerned about is just paying money to play in an event where if the client crashes during a game, I'm shit out of luck. Like, I can't do anything about it. I may lose a game for that reason. And that just kind of seems shitty. And I'd say, like, every time I play online at least once a night, if not twice a night, that happens. And I don't play for long stretches at a time. I play for a few hours at a time, and it happens about once every 2 or 3 hours. So that means there's a good chance it happens multiple times in my time that I play. So I don't know. I just don't know if I want to risk that. Plus, if I don't, I can go and play my local store. Now, actually, people are casually getting involved in it. So I'm thinking about just going there and trying to help build the scene, because I think that'll go a long way. But anyway, I'm enjoying it, though. The game is a lot of fun. This new set has just been fantastic to play. Pokemon, I played in the challenges this past Friday, and I got fourth place. It was a heartbreaking loss, because I could have won, and I actually was in a position where it looked like I couldn't win, and I managed to pull a play where I pivoted in a situation to actually win the game, and the person like top decked the exact card they needed to not die. So we, instead of either of us winning, they forced us to draw. Yeah, so it was like such a big wet fart. Because I can't be mad, because I managed to make it so that I couldn't lose. But I could have potentially won. I don't know. It was frustrating, but it is what it is. Of course, just prepping. A new set is coming out, and the new rotation is happening. I got signed up for the Indianapolis Regional Championship in May, and I'm getting all my stuff, my eggs and ducks in a row for the North American Championship that's coming up in June. So we got all that stuff going on. It's been fun, but I'm going to have those packs. I got to look at it. It's like, I don't think I bought a case. I think I only bought 4 boxes, but that's 144 packs. So that's a lot of packs to open. And that doesn't include my Pokemon Center ETBs. So I got lots to open. So that's lots of potential content for rips.
Got to make 144 shorts.
Yeah, well, I figured I'd make a big streaming thing. I'd love Andy to just comment on all the nonsense if he has the time to watch it, or if he sees shorts. Like, oh, look at that. He opened that other thing. Oh, that's a shiny other Pikachu. As far as things that I've been watching, I got kind of pounded at work. I've just been really busy, so I haven't got to watch much of anything other than the stuff that we had. I watched all of, like, 5 minutes of the Oscars while I was trying to have a conversation with my wife, and I got to see the bit with Arnold and Danny DeVito. That was kind of funny, where they shit on Batman. Did you see
John Cena be naked?
I did get to see John Cena do his initiation to the Illuminati. That hearing the stories about that being his initiation ritual, and then hearing deeper dives into how Cat Williams and Ludacris, allegedly according to him, were asked to be in the Illuminati. I didn't put that on here because I was like, I don't know if that's worth sharing, but now I'm just talking about it. That is some wild stuff. I just sometimes question the stuff people smoke, but then I don't know. Maybe there's some weight to it. I don't know everything about the world, but it's pretty wacky stuff. I'm just going to say that. Some of the stuff, like, if you hear it, it's just like, whoa, that's nuts.
Side note, it just reminded me, like, they know the Oscars is sucking, and they're just like trying to see what will stick on the wall. And they're just like, let's make John Cena naked. Let's fucking have Penguin and Mr. Freeze fucking yell at fucking Batman. And like, it was so like weird, this Oscars. Like, we're still hip.
Like, I don't watch any of it. I've just never really been a thing. Like, I just don't care about it. I literally was trying to have a conversation with my wife, and like, I see one thing, and then you can't escape everybody putting up the floating piece of paper. Or someone making the comment, why is there a floating piece of paper on the Oscars? Everyone, I'm so tired of that joke. I've still been watching the anime Bastard. I decided to keep watching because it did start to actually have this whole plot. I finally figured out the show is called, it's actually called Bastard Heavy Metal Dark Fantasy. So it's literally this like weird like anime that has been made that is a bunch of nods to heavy metal bands. So like the season one is about them protecting Metallicana. I don't know how I didn't catch on to this until like halfway through the season. I was like, wait, what did they say that person's name was? And then I realized, the god of destruction is Anthraxis. Like they're just named all of the things after, like I just started the second season and they're in, what is it called? It's like AI-RON- basically it's Iron Maiden, but it's Iron Maiden, like the way they say it, it's like the nation they're in. It's kind of almost as cringe the way I explain it, but watching it, it's not so bad. It's like, oh, okay, that's kind of funny.
Somebody liked JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
yeah exactly. So that's another show that I've thought about going deeper on, because I've watched bits of JoJo, but man, it's, I don't know if I want to go through that.
That's
or not.
It's a fun show. It's good to break it up. Like if you're like, oh, this is too much, there's like eras in it. There's real easy stopping points in it.
Well, part of it was I actually at one point, like a while back, was going to watch it. And then I just had a hard time finding enough of it to make it worthwhile. Like I couldn't find enough of the show. Sorry. Anywhere I found it, I found pieces. Like I could watch this, and I could watch so many episodes, but then it would stop. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't want to watch chunks, and then I can't find the other part to finish it. So, which I will say, I didn't dig too hard. I mean, I looked at the time that I looked, and I just gave up on it and moved on. But nevertheless, maybe that's something I'll go back to. But anyway, Bastard Season 1 was actually really good. It is absurd the amount of like crazy magic spells they cast on each other, and also everyone's apparently immune to just having being dismembered and having an arm bleed out for an eternity. Like people survive it. It's kind of funny. Like I don't know, but yeah, I'm now like I just finished episode 3 of season 2, and it's pretty good. It's not that bad. It didn't go. It keeps teasing that whole idea of he's like a womanizer that causes all these women to swoon over him, and they fantasize about having sex with him and stuff. But I don't know. It is like a full on porn, which is good. but anyway, other than that, I haven't really watched anything. And then the other free time I've spent, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is awesome. It's so good. I'm only in chapter 4 so far. I get to an area and I just do all the stuff because it has that same, it has a similar cycle to what you were talking about. All the towns like have their own little quest lines, and there's all these side things you can do to get intel and unlock things. So I just, as I get to each thing, I want to spend all the time engrossed in that and getting everything first. So I just gotten through the Mithril Cave before you get to Junon, and now I'm there. So the Queen's Blood game, I haven't got to play much. Like it just hasn't come up anymore where I'm at, but I'm sure as I get to cities, it'll come up. But that's the mini game within. It's really fun. And then I'll just spoil this. The Fort Condor is back. So Fort Condor was the game from Intermission. The Yuffie story. It's like the little battle simulator that you play. So how it comes up is, and what I don't know is if it's going to be more than just this side quest or if it's going to be available through the game. But what happens is you're on a side quest for Chadley, and you find a relic he's looking for, and it's a board game for Fort Condor, and you get sucked into it. So they become their own like blocky versions of themselves from back in the original game.
Oh, that's where that comes from. Upgraded. Okay.
Yeah, that's where it's from. So you're, but you know how in the Fort Conroe game you can have spells that you can cast one time?
Yeah.
So what they've gotten rid of that, and instead you have heroes. So what happens is after you've used, so like for instance, Cloud is one of the defenders. So when you've used so many defenders, you've made it possible to put Cloud down. And you can only put him down one time a game, but he has his own special abilities and other things. So that's how they put them into the game. It was kind of ingenious how they fit all that in. But I only played part one of the quest, and then it moved to a different area, so I have to go to the next area to keep playing it. That's the only downside, is I don't know if it's past just playing the side quests or not.
But yeah, I see. Well, at least it's there.
It's there, exactly. But I'm chipping away at it. I think I only have like 12 hours invested. I mean, with the pace that I'm moving, it's going to take me 100 hours because I'm spending so much time doing everything. But it's worth it. It's fun. So I'm thoroughly enjoying the game. And also, because of that, and this is a shout-out to the previous, that last episode where I streamed and talked about streaming Pixelborn. So I have been using Game Chops. I'm using their instrumentals for the Black Materia remake, which is Final Fantasy covers. But there's a separate album that those are the instrumentals for the actual album he did as a collaboration with Mega Ran. I would recommend that album. That album is really good. Yeah. I really like listening to that lately. I've been listening to that when I'm just like chilling out doing my notes or as background. So yeah. That's all I've got going on. Heavy on the Final Fantasy stuff at the moment.
Cool. Did you stream this week or no?
I didn't get a chance to stream this week. I worked like back to back three shifts in a row. Like I worked three, I was off a day or two, then I worked three. So yeah, I didn't really get much time. It's kind of rough when I do all those hours all at once.
Yeah, people got to stop getting sick. Stop doing that.
Yeah. So fucking selfish.
Stop licking fucking doorknobs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was something else I watched. I watched Dubs stream a bunch.
Yeah, which I guess we'll talk about since I'm next. My OCD and train enthusiast brain fucks up my planning a lot because I planned everything out as what I was streaming, and I didn't fucking stick to the plan. And it really fucking pissed me off to the point I was like, I'm just going to do 3 days because I was going to do like 5 days of streaming every week. And then I thought about it. Literally after I came back from work, I was like, I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to sit here and just soak in my hatred for fucking corporatism in retail to the point. Never mind. I'm not going to go that far.
You gotta go that far now.
No,
it's about to get disconnected from the internet. Be careful!
Fucking FBI is gonna come through my door. FBI.
They have no real authority.
Yeah, fucking get ready. NSA Bob's coming for you.
Mm-hmm. So I played Ready or Not. If you ever played the SWAT games back in the day, especially SWAT 4 when it started becoming like first person, if you remember Spoony One did the SWAT 4 videos back in the day.
Mm-hmm. You're my way, sir.
Yeah. Ready or Not is like that. And I was playing with my other streamer friends and we were shooting civilians and... And I was like, I think that was a weapon. It wasn't. And then I started tasing handcuffed people. It was a good time. But then we got like serious and stuff.
I mean, well, those fucking SWAT guys are all loose cannons. They're just ready to murder everybody.
Yeah. Dude, like some of the levels in that game, it's fucking wild because there's a... server place with like terrorists that that are guarding these servers because of elites have like child pornography on these servers, and you have to like go arrest and shoot them. There's an active school shooting that you have to take care of. There's also child trafficking that, I mean, you don't see the children, but they allude to it. And you're doing missions like that, and I'm just like, wow, the fuck? Some heavy shit.
That sounds like it's on the level of the SWAT games. Like, I still remember that one mission you did in SWAT 4 where it was like this cult or whatever took over a house, and you go in there and raid it, and then you go to, like, you find the basement or some shit, and it's like they deleted a bunch of children and buried them in the basement or something. Mm-hmm. And you find, like, the evidence of that. It's like it's literally they had, like, a graveyard in the basement.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up. God damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark shit.
Ready or Not gets as heavy as that. And it's funny because it's not funny. In the school shooting one.
That made it funny to me. Yeah.
So in the school shooting one, can you actually get into the school? Or is it like you and all your other officers trying to keep you from going in?
Yeah, like those Texas folks.
Yeah. So I remember talking about that. There was a picture of that online going around, but then, like, at a job fair, they're showing all the weapons that the police department have.
Yeah.
And people are, like, shitting on it online. And someone goes, like, hey, it's progress. They're actually in the school this time. It's kind of fucked up, but it's kind of funny.
Well, the fucking hours anyway. Will never live that down.
I know, fucking pussies.
I played off stream, but I made a joke because I don't know if you read the story about the cop in Florida that thought he heard a gunshot, but it was an acorn that fucking hit on the car.
That was amazing.
Yeah, so I heard a pop in the game, and I was like, oh, shots fired, and I just started shooting the wall. Like,
wait, did you go full fucking Carl Winslow from Die Hard, where you shot the kid? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, so that game is really fun. It's $50 on Steam if your computer can handle it. My computer can handle it, so I had fun playing that.
Computer can handle it.
Was that?
I said, oh, Mr. My computer can handle it over here.
Yeah. Well, I know Andy's computer probably can handle it since he has a new rig.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I don't know. Can you capture creeps and use them to fight in underground battle rings in it?
I mean, if you're playing alone and you get to, like, send in your team, kinda.
Does it have a Crazy Taxi homage in it?
Can you play Daytona USA 2 in it?
No, but there's a John Wick level.
We're done.
That's not going to work out for me. I'm
you know, sorry. There's a
trading card mini game that you can play with the trafficked children. Can you go to Neverland Ranch with the children? No. All right. Then never mind.
All right. Let's move up from this cancel talk to
Michael was assassinated by Sony, by the way.
Oh, jeez. Okay. So, speaking of conspiracy theories, Cat William confirms.
Oh, my God. So I played WWE 2K24. I did the universe mode on stream. I did a little battle royale or a Royal Rumble to see what character I would use in the character focus of the universe mode. And Stone Cold won. He won the Royal Rumble, and I became Stone Cold. I always thought, like, the universe mode had more random moments. It doesn't. Like, you have to force the moments, because there's a menu where Xavier Woods' picture, like, points at the stuff. He's like, you could create your rival. Pick your rival. I'm like, no, I want it to be random. So, because I chose it random, these were the rivals of Stone Cold so far. Akira Tozawa. again, Dirty Dom.
That makes sense.
JD McDonough.
You gonna fight with the Judgment Day? What are you doing?
Omos with MVP, which at the end of a match, I beat up Omos and MVP with a steel chair to the point where MVP wanted to rival me. So I had a MVP as my rival for a while. And then The Miz happened. Seth Rollins is the only hard person that I actually had to face. And it sucks because, you know, like how in certain games and certain wrestling games, you build up to have title shots.
Yeah.
You have to choose your title shot. And I thought that's kind of stupid, in my opinion. because I went for the Intercontinental Championship, which I beat Gunther. I broke his streak, and Stone Cold became the IC champ. And then they threw me into a Money in the Bank match, and I won the Money in the Bank briefcase. And then I chose to face Seth Rollins since he's on Raw, and I beat him for the belt. So now I am the IC champion, the WWE champion, and I'm Mr. Money in the Bank. So am I going to cash in on myself, or am I going to go after Roman? Who knows? Maybe I'll switch shows.
Does Steve Austin do a Spanish fly?
Is that?
I said, does Steve Austin do a Spanish fly?
No, but...
Okay.
Every time he does the Lou Thesz press, like, all three announcers fucking mark out, and it's so cringe. I need to, like, turn off commentary, because they still have Byron Saxton on there, and I'm just like, why is he still on the team?
Ugh. So lame. Oy.
But I haven't played the other things yet. I did get the WrestleMania edition, so I have, like, everything unlocked, and I get all the download content. DLC has Pat McAfee is going to be in one of the DLCs and fucking Post Malone, which is weird. I don't know.
Hell yeah. Post Malone, 24/7 champion.
Yeah. when I watched Constellation, that parallel universe show on Apple TV, Masters of the Air, I watched. I'm almost done with that. I'm having a good time with that. I didn't know Tom Hanks was the producer of that show, by the way. I watched some Big Trouble Rips, which I shouted out Andy before.
Thank you.
And I gave some likes. And
also, thank you.
Yeah. You need to put some tags in there. I know you want to catalog them first, but that's how you get into algorithm and get some people watching. But you're doing good with the shorts.
I was more worried about, like, attracting people and then being like, oh, there's fucking nothing here yet, and then losing them. So, I'm building up. I want to have at least 5 of each kind of pack, and then I was going to start getting my fingers back in there and fixing everything up.
Fingers.
And then I went on like a Next Generation binge. I watched a bunch of episodes. Of a Man. And I thought about putting that in my rotation, but I think I like my picks already. So we'll save that for next time.
Save it for next time.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, are your picks, by the way, are they all TNG?
Yes.
Okay. I assumed so, but just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, because I wanted Andy to handle Deep Space Nine. Voyager, I'm not really well versed. That's like one of my least favorite series, but I'm not saying like it's bad or anything. It's just one of my least.
You'll see.
And Zach's handling the original series for us. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All originals.
I watched a movie before we did this podcast called The Shift. It's from Angel Studios, and I'll tell you who's in it.
Some losers.
I mean, some people might look that way, but it has Neil McDonough in it. He's he plays the benefactor. It has Sean Astin in this movie.
Oh.
And
is he Rudy?
Yeah.
Kind of. He's like a hitman. He's like Rudy if he was a hitman. And I'll explain. So Angel Studios is a Christian studio. So they deal with a lot of, God versus devil stuff. And the benefactor is the devil, played by Neil McDonough, who also played Bison in that sucky ass fucking Street Fighter movie, that Chun-Li movie. So the plot is this guy named Kevin is having some difficulties with his wife, and he gets into a car crash, and the devil's like, hey man, I can give you the world, I can give you a better job, you can pay your bills and stuff. And he starts praying, and the devil gets fucking annoyed, and he's like, I could shift you through parallel universes, I shifted your wife. And then it gets fucking weird, bro. To the point, he has like this watch where he could like shift people. He's like, And Kevin's like, I don't believe you, benefactor. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, I want you to shift one of these people in this restaurant. So the waitress named Tina is like pissing her pants. And he's like, yo, what about Tina? So he shifts Tina to a life where her parents never meet. And she goes to a psych ward. Rude. Yeah. And then after Kevin prays and the devil gets angry and disappears, he thinks he won. He goes out the door and there's like a tyrannical government going on where the Antichrist, the devil, is the leader of this world. And Sean Astin is smuggling scriptures of the Bible to the people so that they could have some type of hope. But lo and behold, the twist is Sean Astin is working for the devil. He's a shifter, and all his shifter parallel Sean Astins are shooting people because he's a hitman. It's fucking weird.
This is kind of wild.
Yeah.
What made you want to watch this?
So I like Angel Studios. I do like The Chosen, where it follows like Jesus's journey and all, and where it ends. And where it resurrects and all that stuff. So I'm like, they're a pretty good studio. I kind of like their stuff. And I like Neil McDonough. He's like one of my favorite actors. When he was in a Minority Report, if you remember that movie, he was the bad guy. And I just remember watching YouTube videos where people were like, this is the greatest movie ever. And I'm just like, is it? Because the CGI is like weird. To the point where Sean Astin dies funny, by the way. He gets like shot by laser beams. He's like, ah! And he falls to the
ground. That's not what I expected to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, but it does have a moral in it, moral at the end of the story. Do you want to know the ending? Are you guys going to watch this movie?
I mean, no. Yeah. I feel like after you described it so eloquently, I don't need to. So you can go ahead and tell me the ending.
So his journey in this movie is like he's trying to find his prime, his original wife, because he ships his wife through like another parallel universe and stuff. And there's this machine in this tyrannical world that he's in right now where he gets to see all the possibilities of different lives. And he sees his wife and he sees like this cross, not cross, pennant. That she's wearing. And the backstory of the pen is that their son died or got kidnapped or got hit by a car. They don't explain it, but he's dead.
All of the above.
Yeah. I'll go into it just a little bit. They're in a grocery store talking to other people, and the son's like, fuck you guys, I'm out of here. And he goes out of the grocery store, and the next scene is the police gives the little backpack to the parents, and the parents start crying. So he's dead. That's how he and how they grieve is Kevin gives a pennant to the wife, and the wife like screams at him like, it's time to move on, bitch. She didn't say bitch, but that's what happens. Anyway, so he's trying to get back to his like original wife, but in the ending, he doesn't go back to his original wife. He just goes to a different wife and has the wife has a daughter. An already made daughter from another man. He like marries her and has a son, and that's how it ends.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Now that I've found a little more about this, I actually think I do want to watch it because you telling me the story and then finding out what this movie's supposed to be based off of is so different that it's actually interesting. This is apparently supposed to be a modern sci-fi take on the Book of Job.
Yes.
Whoa! What? I'm gonna want to watch it out of the intrigue of that now, because that sounds nothing like the Book of Job.
Yeah, he does. He does ascribe scriptures of the Book of Job to a Hispanic family, where they're like, "Hey, you're that Kevin guy that got like shifted and is not like the other Kevins." I don't know what that means, but they go in there and he's like, I'll tell you a story about Job, like how he lost everything and he's, you know, he gained everything back because he believed in God and all that stuff. Job, and that's like
more like I'm Job. Like, he did the job.
But I don't know. I I was entertained because I love bad movies, so it was fun to watch.
Well, I want to watch that because you just said something really important about the Book of Job that's not true. Job didn't get anything back. God was literally like, hey, watch how devout they are, this fucking little piss ants. Watch this. Hey, Job, do this for me. Do you still love me? And then he fucked his entire life and said, do you still love me? Do you? And he's like, I guess.
Well,
that was the end. That's the end. That's the end of it.
Well, in the movie, the guy said he does say that he doesn't know the whole word for word, so he might have made it up because he's
that sounds like all of Christianity. So that sounds like all. I didn't translate that right. I may have missed something. I read the Cliff Notes of the Bible. Sorry, I'm getting on a soapbox here, but this is funny. It sounds like I'd be entertained in some way to watch it morbidly, but.
Yeah.
So thank you for introducing me to that. I'm actually highly intrigued. I might drink while watching it.
Yeah. After that, I watched Devon Dudley.
Wait, which one? When he was the preacher? Testify.
No. It's when Terry Wilson Terry Reynolds. They do the, the what's up? And like Devon like goes in her crotch area. But he stays there for about like 2 minutes. So that's what I watched right after that. Weird.
How I remember seeing that in a short or something.
Yeah.
Devon hanged out there for a while.
Yeah.
After he was done.
He was in the sea for a while.
He was up in it for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And trying to think what else I watched. I just watch a bunch of YouTube stuff about like writing techniques and all that stuff. That's boring. I don't want to bore you guys.
I thought you were going to say laser beams that can't affect blue roofs or something like that. Like,
yeah, you know what laser beams can affect? Apparently, Sean Astin.
Mm-hmm. Wow, he wasn't wearing blue.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Must have been it.
All right, guys. Remember to watch those episodes. Deep Space Nine, Season 1, Episode 18. Which is Duet, episode 4, season 4, episode 3, Hippocratic Oath, season 5, episode 6, Trials and Tribulations. And we will discuss that next week. So PP Dubs, take us out, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Make it so.
Hey, do you want to be in the show? Make sure you email them bigtroublenet@gmail.com. They are also on Twitter @BigTroubleNet. You can listen to all their shows on all podcast services. So until next time, catch ya in the next pit stop.